Tonight on In the Neighborhood, WIDE brings you part two of the joint listening session on the city operating and capital budgets held September 8th at the Sequoia Branch Library with Alders Fair and Cheeks.
The final question. We've read in the media that the public market is being presented as a number one priority for the capital budget. And we want to ask you if that's your priority too. If you disagree,
can I ask why people think it's the most important
Yeah, we put it on there because the mayor has essentially intimated that it's a priority in his budget. And so it,
do we know why, though?
Well, we
what is it expected to do for us?
Redevelopment of that quarter. I mean, it's developing anywhere, but maybe in that particular area, like First Street, it's pretty well done.
Not only redevelopment, but sparked the food entrepreneurial world that is thriving or could thrive even more in Madison. That's a part of the rationale. So a lot of the business there would be small food vendors and small vendors in general. Big time picture, I think, would be that this place would be a social hub that would be seen around the country as a place to mimic. I'm just giving you what I think some of the rationale has been. And if you go to a really nice public market somewhere around the country, they're exceptional places. They're great. The question is whether right now in our city it should be a priority or not. That's the question.
So the folks who feel really strongly, you might have a different priority in mind. Would you like to tell us what your priority would be?
I don't know why we want it at all. I mean, I think it's a thing that's going to hurt what we have for markets coming in. I think we've got cute, you know, on the square markets and little things going around for people who have small farms or something. And I lived in Detroit where when I went to the public market, it was because what they call the public market in Detroit was the leftover stuff after they supplied all the restaurants. So you could go and you could buy a bag of green grapes for $2 because they'd already supplied all the restaurants and all the businesses. And it was people trying to get rid of what was left. But that's not what this is. This is the higher end of what Pike's Marketer is in Seattle or something like that, which is really more of another touristy thing, not a real. I've dealt with the people run down there on Saturday morning or Friday when they live there. I don't know. So to me, I think
is this thought of more as a destination place than something to serve the neighborhood there?
I think that this is my perception of this, that there are dueling visions, or maybe more than two visions, of what the public market will be. I think people on the east side, people in the sort of foodies, people in the food business, a lot of them tend to be on the east side, will think it serves the neighborhood, it will serve the east side, it will serve the city. And I think some others, maybe the mayor, I don't know, will want to see it as a destination place. That's something that will draw people over time. So I think it depends on sort of where, you know, how you look at it, how you perceive it. How it actually ends up playing out, if it plays out, over time.
How much was allocated for?
Is this a bad place to put our money in?
$13 million.
I'm sorry, the red, did you want?
As I look at the question on the screen, is the public market the most important investment in the future of the city of Madison? As a West Side resident, knowing where the market is going to be, it's definitely not the most important investment for a West Side person who is concerned about public safety and who wants to see safe neighborhoods and raise families in safe areas. That to me is a higher priority than a public market.
Okay, thank you.
I agree with you.
Okay, great.
We got a couple in the middle. Do you guys have any comments you want to offer?
Yeah, the way it's worded, the most important, well, you know, in my mind, it probably wouldn't. But I think it's an idea that it's worth pursuing, and across the country, it might replicate some of that buzz that some of the more popular public markets have. I think it's worth it. more things. Looking at and maybe funding it, in my mind, I'm in the middle, but I totally think it's not the most important investment we have. I appreciate it. It's just three or four things that some of them have four or five years.
Yeah, I agree. I don't. It seems like a false choice. Do we have a public market or, you know, police or something? Right. Like, obviously we can't have both. But if with the wording of a question, where are we talking about what is the most important? I put it at the top of my list for the city.
Perhaps we could reword that question for our next one.
Yeah.
But is it a top priority or where, you know? We wanted to get on these questions sort of, you know, yes or no, sort of thing. Sure.
All of these questions are meant to be, actually, Steve asked a good question earlier. He said, why isn't the wording of one of these questions a little different, right? We didn't want any of them to be department specific. We wanted them to be about our purview as a city. We wanted to get a sense for priorities for the room. And this one in particular was a response to a direct quote from the mayor in his capital budget announcement that this was his most important thing for the future of the city. So just wanted to get a sense for where the community was at in relation to this and all the other things. So this was really valuable feedback. I think Heather has these questions on a piece of paper, and I'll pass them out. You're obviously not obligated because I can't give you a grade, so it depends on your report card or anything like that. But we really value this feedback, and we've been taking some notes. But I encourage you, if you want to share any specifics, if you didn't get a chance to speak up, we're capturing this for our benefit as we consider the choices that we're going to have to make in the future. So.
Maybe 2 or 3 minutes if you'd like to write some things down, and then we can have a little Q&A.
Yeah,
I do that.
I wanted to ask us where we think we'd like to see money spent.
Well, that's stuff we can talk about. And you can write.
So we'll take just a couple minutes of all that there said to make some notes, and then we'll jump into sort of more of a discussion.
I'm not leaving. I'm just going to go to the bathroom and get some out of my car.
There's no grass where the road and curb and gutter are. No, ours are green grass.
That feeling when you're
in the terrace.
I'm sure
there's no grass there. You know, going down. It's just either treated better, taken care of better, or it's just paper. Because it's just a clean, luscious feel. You go down eyes and there's green and dandelions and grass and sand. And I'm not even worried about it.
Okay, good. Well, tell us that. If you want to have any. Can we one?
Okay, you sure can. You could tell us the
But your comments about that, I appreciate it. I'm experiencing that here in the city. I'm not quite that anymore, but I was wondering if I would push that from how more are we
going to do? I mean, we don't have to be
later. Yes, for sure.
Yes, good for more of the expertise. Then there's not more of the
And you find that your son is here, though, moving to the absence of the
world? Our son is a teacher, but he's really into the one. He can't afford to do the same thing. He can't afford to do the house for two bedrooms or an office. She's great. But all his friends, whether it's from Chicago or Yankee, she's a
small
micro line.
My
house
has
to be a
I don't think that's what it is.
it's a
Yeah, it's more expensive, which I think is a lot.
Yeah, a number of amounts.
Well, it's usually a point about simply buildings just housing maybe we read up an interesting article about what happened, you know, the San Francisco was the housing price increase probably in the United States. And it's possible to house in there.
Some people are still writing, so we'll give you another minute or so.
You're such a good teacher.
It was a few hours.
Perhaps you want to share some of the things that you wrote down, your ideas, your thoughts that you just filled out, or questions that you have. But of course, it's open to anything else. Budget, you know, we'd like to stick to the budget. We'd love if you could stick to the themes that we talked about, but it's your public forum, and so and we're your elected leaders, so fire away.
I got a question.
Yes.
There's 10 of us here.
Where are the rest?
Yeah. Why we decided to come over, I think, because we had met you at the picnic and things like that. We'd never been to a meeting like this. We didn't know we've got some input, but the budget is already established, right?
Absolutely.
So we're here to listen to what has already been decided.
The council will now amend the budget.
We just sort of set the next process. So let me your question about maybe a little frustration why there's only 10 people here. One of the things that I find very frustrating, but maybe just reality, it's very hard to get people to get out. I mean, people's lives are busy, whatever, to get out and come to these sorts of things. I mean, just so you know, the way we publicized it, we had a press release. We send it to all of our neighborhood associations. We send it on a listserv. We put it on our social media sites.
I sent Blake today making calls.
So, you know, we did a pretty good job of getting the word out.
I wasn't criticizing.
No, I know. I just wanted I didn't take it as that.
So I'll also say that, the reason why we're doing multiple of these is to learn, both from the structure, to be able to iterate on the feedback, but then also to be able to learn from what could we do differently or better to increase turnout or maybe make this available at the best possible time or place or anything like that. So, I mean, obviously we share your concern. We want to maximize public input. For what it's worth, just knowing that this was happening has solicited a number of emails from constituents who said, you know, sorry that I'm not going to be able to be there, but here's several paragraphs on my thoughts on the budget, which is fantastic.
And the mayor in the past has done, earlier in the process, has done public, and working with the finance department and other agencies, has done listening sessions and budget kind of workshops and things. I don't think any was done this year.
We didn't have anything this year.
That's usually something that comes direct, you know, as a coming from the banks. That just didn't happen this year. But as far as where the process is now, this is the capital budget, and then when the operating budget comes out in a month, that is the mayor's proposed budget. The council has it in their purview to literally tear the thing all the way up and start over if it doesn't really work very well that way or wouldn't work that well that way. But we could do that, you know what I mean? So the way it works is we'll have hearings at the Board of Estimates next week on the capital budget where essentially, and I think this is changing a little bit this year, but essentially we hear from the agencies on their budget. Each department head comes and speaks on their budget. There's a chance for the public and for council members to ask questions about the capital budget, and then we have the Board of Estimates can amend that budget, the capital budget, so they can put amendments for it, take things out, add things.
And we do that every year.
And then essentially that process repeats itself with the operating budget, and then those amendments are taken to the council as sort of the amended capital and operating budget, and in November
14th. And 15th.
Not that you guys are thinking about those
days
at all,
but not that they have
that's
vacation
like,
plans.
Anyway, then we have the final deliberations, and the whole council has the ability to make amendments and discuss and things like that. So that's what we are in process.
Where do you start your budget process? You do the budget before you get any input from the council. You just get it from department heads or from?
So the mayor puts out instructions to the department heads.
To
department.
And we work that with they send in their requests consistent with the mayor's guidelines, and then we work with the mayor to get his executive budget, okay, which then gets submitted to the council. The board of estimates spends time on both the capital and the operating budget,
which is the city's finance committee.
Finance committee, and then they will then recommend amendments, and then the council at large can make amendments, and then that all comes together until it's November day.
Are either of you on the board of estimates?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay. And Matt actually comes fairly frequently for an alder that's not on the finance committee.
Yeah, a lot of, like, when it gets to budget season, a lot of other alders will come and participate in the discussion. Yeah. And we can essentially offer amendments through members. So if I thought there should be an amendment, or if I do think there should be an amendment, I could, someone on the finance committee has to sponsor, then I could go sponsor.
The question that was asked about when does the input from the alders come in is a good one, and maybe the process should be reviewed in terms of the alders having input earlier in the budget process, because you folks have the ear to the neighborhoods and you understand what the priorities are probably better than some of the department heads, probably some of the people, including the mayor, might have. And everybody has their own priorities, but I think that you people are the closest to the people, and you should be at the front end of the process rather than at the tail end. Because then you're kind of playing catch up, and you're reacting rather than innovating. Just my input.
Wasn't there a proposal along these lines where, yes, not specifically necessarily to where we come in line with the budget, but it would have ramifications on the budget? So as Dave was saying, that I was thinking about. So there's certainly members of the council have thought about this, and this relationship between the mayor and the council. And it's a strong council, or a strong mayor government system. The council has some strength too, but so, yeah, we proposed some things, or we had some ideas and proposals, yes, of changing the way the finance committee or the board of estimates is construed, giving the council more power over that, which then might, and the arguments some of us were making were a lot of what Dave said, to give us a little bit more, and our constituents, more input and power, so to speak, or influence on the budget. That discussion sort of was derailed, and we'll see if we pick it up again.
Well, one thing I'll say that I think is helpful to that end is one of the things that I've been pushing for, and the finance department has been really supportive of, is the idea of moving us to something that's a budgeting system called outcome-based budgeting, right? And what that does, I think, is puts us on a track to be constantly looking at the budget specifically through the lens of the outcomes that we want to see as a city, and it's all our responsibility in that scenario to help shape the outcomes that are meant to be defined. That's something I think I probably wrote about in the Midvale Messenger, for those of you who guys are memorizing those every month. And we're well on our way to making progress towards that. I think, will it be next year that we're actually doing outcome-based budgeting, or is it another year out?
Yeah, so we are in the early stages of getting sort of the strategic planning that has to go on around a budgeting for outcomes model or outcomes-based model that will be taking place over the calendar year of 2017. And like Alder Cheek said, it really is about taking the conversation away from how did it change from last year to this year, but more, what are the results that we're trying to invest in that are connected to the outcomes that we as a community have agreed to prioritize?
One additional thing, and I only say this because I've been on a neighborhood association board of directors, and I know that a lot of the neighborhoods have done what I guess, for lack of a better term, is neighborhood plans. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of neighborhood plans that I believe are collecting dust in some dusty corner of some, maybe even a library, I don't know. But there are priorities that were listed in those plans, And those were the people, the residents, that spoke up and brought those things forward. And when those never seemed to surface in terms of budgeting and priorities and projects, people who are the average citizen kind of throw up their hands and say, nobody's listening to us.
Yeah.
We go through this process and nobody looks at those plans. They don't. I mean, I don't suppose that you two have probably looked at all the neighborhood plans or even from a regional basis in the city to see what the priorities are. I'm not talking about you, Alder Cheeks, I'm talking about the staff. That's probably not something that you have time to do either at this point. But again, I'm looking at the process changing so that the citizens have more input on the front end of the process than on the back end as much, because the Alders have the same situation.
Well, I would just say it would be our job as policymakers to be looking at those plans and then, you know, trying to get those into the budget. But these folks would just be doing they build the budget technically, you know, from a financial perspective.
You know, I had the exact same feeling about our neighborhood plan. I actually dusted one off. I'm on the board for the Neighborhood Association for Midvale Heights, which is right up here. And Alder Cheeks invited me to attend a city meeting between some people in City Planning Division and the development company for what's going on at Westgate. And, you know, they're kind of speculating about what they want to do. And I was really impressed, and I'm going to drop two names because I was very impressed by Natalie Erdman and Matthew B. Mikulajewski. But they were both from city planning, and they blew me away with like how they had paid attention to the neighborhood plan. I can't say that's true for everybody in city staff or what's going on, but I was like, they get it, they know what we want. And so anyway,
I would say there's different things from a planning perspective. I think our planning department does a very good job of paying attention to our neighborhood plans, and they get woven into our comprehensive plan. And I guess from a development perspective, like zoning, what buildings should go here, what types should go here, what types should go here. I think sometimes on the periphery, like maybe our plan that you're thinking of, they weren't very much about like buildings and zoning as much as they were about safety and programs that could deal with that, or, you know, more squishy issues, I guess, for lack of a better way. And I think that's a good point that maybe our community development division doesn't necessarily, I'm not throwing them in the bus because I love a lot of those folks there, but pay attention to those plans as much. You know what I mean?
So a couple opportunities for improvement there, because, you know, essentially what we're hearing is like we could do better, and we also do actually a pretty good job in some ways with neighborhood plans. One thing that there isn't uniformity necessarily to how rigorous or even what the focus is of a neighborhood plan. But we're in a awesome moment in time to be able to improve that. We're just beginning the process of doing a new comprehensive plan. So as a city, we create every 10 years, we create a 10 and 20 year comprehensive plan. That's gonna be highly informed by neighborhood plans, but I think one of the major outcomes coming out of that on the back end is also going to be hopefully some iteration on the way that we do neighborhood plans. And at the same time that we're doing a comprehensive plan, we're also trying to shift the culture in how we operate as a city in terms of how we prioritize investing our funds every year, right? So on planning and investment standpoint, you know, hopefully if these things come together, as you're describing, they need to, and I certainly agree, I think there's plenty of reason to be both optimistic that it's not that they go ignored right now, but systemically, there's also a ton of improvement to be made.
The one thing about plans, I'll say, and if I've learned anything being on the council for 6 years, is that I don't care how awesome your neighborhood plan is, right, and how hard the city works to try to uphold it,
yeah,
and how dedicated your alder is, there's going to be a project, there's going to be something that doesn't fit that letter of the plan, because space staff doesn't say it has to necessarily. It's really a guide. And there's going to be people who are going to be upset and feel like they spent a lot of time putting into that plan, and that they were, you know, they weren't listening. You know what I mean? So there's a fine line of like doing good planning, and then things change. You might do a plan in 2010 2010, and then there's a development project proposal in 2013, and the climate has changed, and you know, whatever.
I just looked at the clock. We should take a couple more, maybe more active fire budget-related questions. They're going to ring the bell in a few moments to say, it's time to pack up your things.
Yeah, any questions on budget or anything else?
This is exactly on the budget, but does media cover this well? Are we a well-educated citizenship?
We have a very dedicated media.
We've got the cap times in the room.
I'm sorry. Well, cap times. This was online and not everybody gets it every day. No offense. No. I mean, we look at it religiously, but I'm just saying, is it covered well?
I mean, it is not covered well, the budget.
The budget or the what's going on in city council, is it covered in the media well? Are we informed properly and completely about what's going on?
Wow. I want to have a whole meeting about that. I want to talk for 3 hours about that. In fact, if you want to stay and we'll grab a beer, we'll talk about that.
Is there a beer library?
No, not
there.
It's somewhere nearby.
Can we change
that?
It's part of the new neighborhood.
I mean, the answer is mostly yes, is I think the short answer I want to give. You can disagree.
I mean, in a perfect world, I would say no. I think it could be better, much better. But I think there's the reality of media, the reality of newspapers for sure. We're in a transition period, so right now I think that's probably 20, 30 years in the making of how things get covered. So I get frustrated sometimes, but also, you know, there's very good reporting that's done.
Just to take some responsibility, right? So I think the city could do a better job of communicating, right? So department by department, some departments do a phenomenal job of external communication in writing, online, at events. And some departments don't, and there's not sort of a uniformity to how agencies communicate, and I think that's a missed opportunity. I think another thing, frankly, for the benefit of the public, is that the city council hasn't invested in, we've tried to not increase staffing. I think the addition of Heather was a big move 4 years ago, and Heather's our one policy analyst. We have two secretaries that manage the council's office. Unlike the mayor's office, we haven't increased our staff on a regular basis. And so we don't have anyone that's doing communications on behalf of the council. So the story that you get, the external communication that you get, is dependent on how good an agency is at covering it, how transparent or how proactive the mayor is about telling a story about what the priorities for the city are, and how much capacity at the external level, how much capacity the media has to try to cover.
Then alder by alder, how much savvy and skill and time each individual alder has to think about being proactively communicative. Yeah.
I have one thing that was on my mind, but you know what, after listening
to... Did I miss it?
What I want to say, you know what is the biggest flaw in our city government? Is they're not paying attention to seniors. And I want to say, where is the senior center on the west side of town? Pittsburgh has a senior center that makes you feel proud to be old. Corona has a senior center that makes you happy. Middleton has one to die for. And we have a closet in Siegel Road and Sawyer Terrace. I mean, I shouldn't just speak up, but all of a sudden it crosses my mind. The seniors are such a big part of this city, and they're just being left out, I think.
So, just before I was elected to the council, the council established a committee at the behest, I think, of either Alder Bedard or Lauren Kinnear, that was focusing on, one of its focuses was on seniors. And so the council hears that type of feedback all the time, and you know, has been trying to raise that as a priority. I just had a long conversation with somebody over coffee about that issue too.
Well, I actually even talked to Heidi because I'd like to see the senior center turned up.
We had a conversation.
And rescue. Yeah. That's what I would like, whatever they do with it. But I just, there's so many, you know, when I look at my block, I mean, I'm over in the Meadowood area. I mean, there's so many, it's mostly seniors. It hasn't turned over yet. I mean, it'll turn over sometime, and we've got some young people, but we are a majority of seniors trying to
handle. You know, I mean, that's a very, I've heard it from you and others, it's just fighting so many priorities, I think, other priorities, in a division that you saw up there that has increased its staff at minimal levels compared to other, that's community development division. We could go on. I mean, it makes me think, about one trend that I've seen in the 6 years that I've been on the council, not much increase in staff for community development, but an increase in the demand. Yeah. On community development from all of us, because a lot of us on the council, I think, probably are very much thinking about people and people's issues and social issues, whether it's seniors or all kinds of other issues, and we're trying to put that demand on the community development that, quite frankly, does not have the capacity right now to do all the work that we're asking to do. And cities historically don't do some of the work, as much of the work as we're sort of prioritizing, that's been left to county, and so I think we have a challenge of working with county, leveraging funds, but it just makes me think, here's another very important thing that falls under community development.
And it's more
as is youth employment, as is, I might agree with you. Yes, David.
The reason I came to this meeting was I thought there would be more people here from the Midvale Heights area because of the Midtown Police Station, which was unanimously passed by the City Council last year. And signed by the mayor, and yet nothing has been done other than the design part of that project. And it bothers me that this is the second time that the capital budget of the City Council and the mayor have passed a capital budget with the funding for that, and Mount Olive Church still sits there, the parsonage still sits there. Nothing has happened, and it seems as though there's a way that somebody can delay a project that's been passed by the council, and it is the biggest frustration you can imagine to the people on the west side of Madison who know that the police are strapped in terms of their response times because of the limitations and the size of the West District. And, Matt, you've heard me on this many, many times. I'm sure that you have as well, but I'd like to know where you folks are and what's going to happen in your mind. I know the delay has been proposed by the mayor once again, but how can we as citizens have trust in our government when it passes twice and nothing happens?
Well, things have happened. I mean, so it passed 2 years ago. And then passed last year and stuff's happened, but the process played out. The design's supposed to happen this year and the construction in 2017. And that is happening right now. So who's our former captain? He's the in charge of it. He's working on it.
Langfeld.
He's working on it. He's the project manager, so to speak. This is the mayor saying, I'm going to delay this. It's political because it's political. I mean, that's what he's deciding to do for. You know, you'll have to ask him for his reasons because I haven't been able to figure them out.
Right.
But so that's so it's going the way it was, like, as of last year. You know, when we passed that, it was designed in 2016, start construction in 2017. And as of right this minute, that's where we're at. And if we, to answer your other question, I hope when we propose another amendment that gets passed and it puts it back in 2017, that process will just continue and it should continue. Construction should happen in 2017.
Is there anybody approaching you saying that they don't want the Midtown station? Because I feel a little sheepish being on a neighborhood board. They've got some obligation for from the Madison Police Department for our effort in forwarding the cause and advocating for it. I found out that it sounded like a dozen neighborhood associations all chimed in with letters saying essentially the same thing. I'm just wondering, I mean, maybe the mayor is being somewhat opaque, but is there anybody giving a coherent reason as to what's going on? I mean,
oh, why?
Like, what? Like, as in terms of opposition? Usually,
yeah.
I like to think that no matter how thin the pancake, there's always two sides. But in this case, I don't know what the other side is. So, what is it?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't have constituents. I mean, I truly can't think of a constituent who's given me an argument against. I don't believe the mayor's given. I mean, Mo Maurice, if you want to try to characterize the mayor's argument against, I mean, besides we have to watch our spending and our debt service, but yet at the same time we have all kinds of debt. I mean, if you want to characterize this.
Yeah, so I'll say,
I don't want to put you in a political position.
I'll ask Dave to follow up on my answers. I would say I really wish I had an answer for you on that. The mayor has chosen not to communicate to us about why he's, you know, reached into our district and said, no, you know, that thing that you passed twice unanimously, overturned a veto on, he didn't do the courtesy of calling or even having his staff call and say, hey, listen, I've got to make a tough decision. I need to pull this out, whatever. I know this is going to affect you. Let's talk about it, right? None of that has happened. There's been no communication from the mayor. I don't think publicly, and certainly not directly. But you can speak to, maybe you have more privy, maybe you can speak to, you know.
Well, I won't speak on behalf of the mayor, but I will sort of speak to the facts. The facts are, as Matt said, which is design contracts have been approved, design is underway. The mayor is not opposed to the project. What he's done is put in his budget what the timetable will be, pretty much according to the engineering division. So engineering is saying that the project will be designed and ready to bid in August of 2017. And then that means that construction won't start until probably September or October of 2017. Under the mayor's budget, what the mayor would say is, in terms of how he's arranged the dollars, that design will be done throughout 2017 and the bids will be let probably in October of 2017 with construction starting in January of 2018. So what we're really talking about is a 2 to 3 month difference between what the current timetable is and what is in the mayor's proposed budget for 2017. So I don't think it's a matter of Midtown getting built or not getting built. It will get built, and it's really lining up the borrowing, which will occur in 2018, with where the construction timetable is. And it also lines it up with the operating budget associated with funding for additional recruits and so on to actually staff the station. So, you know, those are the facts. At least, you know, engineering is doing the design work along with police. They think that's when it will be ready to go. So it's really, we're talking about a 2 to 3 month difference in terms of what the mayor's proposing. Again, trying to line up the budgets better, the borrowing better, and so on. So those are the numbers and the facts. I won't speak to, you know, opposition or positions or things like that, but that's what the mayor's doing with his budget. He's not saying don't build it. He's just saying let's be more realistic about when the timetable is going to occur.
But the mayor can accelerate or decelerate those plans. And if the public market is on a fast track and the police station is on a slow track, yeah, we'll get our police station, but we may not live to see it. I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious here, but I'm also showing the frustration that those of us who are living in the neighborhoods and understand what's necessary to do a better job in terms of policing and public safety, and we're not seeing it. And I'm not picking on Matt, I'm not picking on Alder Cheeks, I'm not even picking on you folks. I'm just telling you the frustration that we have with this mayor and what he's done over the last several budget sessions. And, you know, When is enough enough? I think the citizens are starting to, the Indians are getting restless. I guess is the best way to put it.
I respect your opinion, and I would suggest to share that with the mayor and some of
I have shared it with the mayor, and I will continue to share it with
the mayor.
And does it help the media, you know, percolate this and say the mayor's postponed this 2 years out? Like, that's completely different than what I've just heard.
Yeah.
I mean, the media's kind of raising the temperature.
You know, so the mayor, I mean, he could set the record straight now. I mean, I've never heard, I'm not, again, I hate getting, I do not want to get staff involved at all, but I've never heard the mayor say what, maybe he will, the budget's hearing next week, but I've never heard the mayor say publicly or to us what they've just said to us.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a couple months and a couple years.
Yeah.
So we're at time. I'm kind of surprised they haven't kicked us out. Oh, that's why.
Oh, no, we're up until 9.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh, how exciting.
Well, I'm happy to stick around. I haven't had dinner, but it doesn't make a difference to me. I'll hang out with you guys.
Yeah, any other
questions? I guess I wanted to say thank you guys for doing what you did tonight, because...
Thank you to staff for being here with that.
Yeah.
Several staff members that worked a really long day.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Thanks to the library. Making themselves available.
This is maybe a good, important first step.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll keep Maurice and I were just talking the other day, and like, you know, we should have done this a couple years ago. So we're happy that we finally started to do this. So.
And thank you guys for being here. Thanks to the neighborhood leaders that helped to share this, and you know, we're here to take notes, and I'm sure you guys will.
So spread the word for next Wednesday at 6:15 at Meadowood Neighborhood Center, the community space.
And these are all right now about the capital budget, so you know, we're trying to do a couple more about the operating budget next month.
In October, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for
thank
coming.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I can collect paper.
Oh, yeah, if you fill out paper, please give it to Heather. We'll take that and try to learn from it.
You're welcome.
You're
welcome.